doing? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. Big day today with the vote on the Epstein files, as well as a number of speeches from Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie, and Trump is making statements. We got a lot to show you today, a lot to get into. We'll be joined in the second hour by Elijah Schaefer, who not only is being sued by the FBI director's girlfriend, but is also now apparently a domestic terrorist and had a bit of trouble getting back into his home country because tyranny grows amongst us. So we'll talk to him about that and take your calls in the final hour. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 18th of November, 2025. House unites to demand Justice Department release Jeffrey Epstein files. Representative Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene really led the charge on this. The House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly to force the Department of Justice to release files related to Jeffrey Epstein. It was the product of a months-long pressure campaign by Democrats and the bill's leaders, Massie and Ro Khanna. Several of Epstein's survivors were present in the House chamber during the vote as well and appeared to erupt in cheers when the resolution was passed. We'll again show you videos from this and talk about what it entails and how the DOJ will continue to try to undercut the release by claiming national security because the CIA was involved up to their ears. But massive, huge success by Thomas Massie. The entire Congress voted in favor of this, except for one person, Representative Clay Higgins, which has a lot of people asking, what's wrong with Representative Clay Higgins? And we'll try to answer that question a little bit later. Meanwhile, massive internet outages sprung up across the world earlier today. Cloudflare says that hours-long global outage that knocked off several major websites earlier Tuesday was caused by a configuration file that unexpectedly got too big. For 4 hours, ChatGPT, X, Spotify, and multiple online services and websites, including Axios, this article is from Axios, were dark on Tuesday due to an outage at Cloudflare. The outage was caused by a configuration file that is automatically generated to manage threat traffic. The file grew beyond the expected size of entries and triggered a crash in the software system that handles traffic for a number of Cloudflare's services, which is a little bit disturbing. It's a little bit disturbing knowing that one, inappropriately programmed file could wipe out the internet for like half of the world, but certainly that's never going to be a threat in the future. Meanwhile, Trump says airstrikes on drug cartel in Colombia and Mexico are, quote, okay with me. On Monday, President Trump told reporters in the White House that striking drug cartel targets in Colombia and Mexico would be okay with him. Would I launch strikes on Mexico to stop drugs? That's okay with me. Would I do that on the land corridors? I would, Trump said. He expressed rare openness to direct Pentagon activities inside America's neighbor to the immediate south at a moment when ongoing deadly drone strikes on alleged drug boats off the coast of Venezuela. This is sure to turn U.S.-Mexico relationships in a more negative direction, but Trump doesn't seem overly concerned with this as he ramps up pressure also on Colombia. Well, when they have been the source of just infinite problems for us, I don't think I feel too sorry for Mexico either. And I would at least be more in favor of bombing Mexican drug cartels than, you know, Palestinian children. So I guess I'm okay with this too. An actual threat to America from a country that is to our immediate south and causes us endless trouble by funneling millions upon millions of people and billions of dollars of drugs across our border. We should probably deal with that. Meanwhile, DHS arrests over 130 illegal immigrants in the first 2 days of Operation Charlotte's Web. This is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we'll return to this on the other side. It'll be our first major story because we're seeing some very, very, very disturbing developments there. It's not Chicago or L.A., but the reaction has been just as vociferous, and that's because a sixth of the city is foreign-born. So that's what happens when you replace your population. Finally, federal appeals court will hear arguments in Texas and Louisiana's Ten Commandments case in January. That's the wrong headline. This is about a redistricting rule. That's weird. It printed the wrong headline for the story. No, a judge has said we cannot use the redistrict map and we have to use the old rigged racist one. Thanks, judge.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform,
his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world. Yes!
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on x.com.
Welcome back, folks. I said that we would continue the program with a discussion of what's happening in Charlotte, North Carolina. I think maybe people tuning in want to know what is the latest with Jeffrey Epstein, so we might save what's going on in Charlotte here for just a second, but we do need to get to that, and it involves open sedition by a number of military officers in our government. It's a very big deal. But let's talk about what's happening with the Epstein file. So the House has voted to release the files, overwhelmingly so. All but one House lawmaker present in the chamber voted in favor of the bill to release the Epstein files. It passed 427-1. The lone no vote was Representative Clay Higgins of Louisiana, who posted on X shortly thereafter to explain his decision. Now, we'll go to his explanation here in just a second, but probably wasn't the greatest move. Probably wasn't the greatest protest vote. Obviously, it wasn't going to affect the outcome when everybody else is voting in favor of this. The question is, why would he do that? Why would he go out of his way to be the one dissenting voice on this? And I genuinely don't know, but we'll try to figure that out. As written, the bill reveals and injures thousands of innocent people, witnesses, people who provided alibis, family members, etc., if enacted in its current form. This type of broad reveal of criminal investigative files released to a rabid media will absolutely result in innocent people being hurt, not by my vote, Higgins wrote. Which, again, is just a little bit absurd when you have the victims of Jeffrey Epstein there in Congress cheering when this passes. It really doesn't make any sense. The Oversight Committee is conducting a thorough investigation that has already released well over 60,000 pages of documents from the Epstein case. That effort will continue in a manner that provides all due protections for innocent Americans. If the Senate amends the bill to properly address privacy of the victims and other Americans who are named but not criminally implicated, then I will vote for that bill when it comes back to the House. So basically, Thomas Massie almost single-handedly managed to achieve this, and it is an achievement, getting both sides of the House to vote overwhelmingly in favor of something. That is a very rare occurrence. In fact, it usually only occurs when it comes to something like providing weapons to Israel. This is kind of the opposite of that, which is interesting, because now you've got the entire Congress voting to expose the misdeeds of an Israeli spy. But it's a total accomplishment by Thomas Massie. He's now warning against the Senate changing the bill substantially and basically rendering this entire process moot because they delete all of the names of all of the perpetrators, the people doing this. But, you know, there's also a Trump card to play. There's also the card to play of the survivors know the names. The list, as it were, is not a single list. There are files. There is evidence. There is any number of collections of data on all of this. But the survivors there know the names of the people. I mean, they're famous people. They're rich people. There are people they were intimate with. They know who these people are and could release it at any point. They want the legal process to take place and for the official investigative files to be released, but they don't need to. And so Marjorie Taylor Greene is talking about that basically as a failsafe, dead man switch sort of thing. We'll go to a couple videos of this. Let's go first to clip number four. This is Representative Massie on clip four. Although, I don't know. Is this mislabeled? Representative Massey on Epstein. Let's go to clip four now. No, this is Marjorie Taylor Greene. All right. That's what I thought. Let's go to clip four.
Finally, putting these victims and these survivors of Jeffrey Epstein and the cabal of rich, powerful elites that expands not just here in the United States of America, but to other countries as well, we're putting them last. And that is exactly what Americans want. You see, for far too long, Americans have been put last. And they're sick of it. They're sick and tired of it. And this is why they don't trust Congress. This is why they don't trust the government. And here's the problem. All of these women, women who have suffered in shame for years and years and years, women who were terrified, women who were intimidated, women who were threatened, just like Virginia Giuffre. And now she's dead. And these women should have never faced that for this information to come out. And we, especially the four Republican members of the House of Representatives, we should have never faced intimidation and threats for us to get this vote to come to the floor. Never forget, there were four: Thomas Massey, myself, Nancy Mace, and Lauren Boebert. We had to sign a discharge petition, and we had to fight through intimidation, and we had to endure it for months to push that discharge petition finally to 218 to get this vote to come out. This is what the American people are sick of, and rightfully so. Now, where does this go?
Well, I'll tell you where it goes from here. The bill has been passed. It'll go to the Senate now. Let's go to clip number, we'll watch the actual passing of the bill. Clip number 10 here. This is the U.S. House passing this legislation, forcing the DOJ to release the information of the Jeffrey Epstein files. Let's watch.
On this vote, the yeas are 427, the nays are one. Two-thirds being in the affirmative, the rules are suspended, the bill is passed, and without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
So there you go, and the cheering goes up. Now again, this battle isn't over, not by a long shot, and, you know, there's good reason why it's been so difficult to get the Jeffrey Epstein files out. It's a pretty obvious reason. Of course, the claim that they're making is still valid, technically, and that's claim of national security. From Ken Klippenstein, Klippenstein.com, national security blocks Epstein file release. While Congress votes on a bill many think will pry loose the Jeffrey Epstein files, one glaring loophole will prevent full transparency. It's called national security. Not national security that has anything to do with the national defense or harm to the nation, but the self-serving kind that protects the system from the people by depriving them of information. In this case, about Jeffrey Epstein, his 1,000-plus victims, according to the government, and any accomplices he had. With 89% of Americans in agreement that the Justice Department should release all information about Jeffrey Epstein, the message is clear: national security is more important than democracy. Take a look at Congress's long-shot attempt to force the release of the government's records. A seemingly innocuous word appears in the resolution, unclassified. It's an official word that in theory only exists when it comes to national security matters, that is, that the release of such information could cause harm to national security. There is, of course, a small chance that some FBI method relating to intelligence collection might officially qualify as classified because the release might expose certain capabilities of the government. But even there, I'd argue the public has a right to know, and yet somehow the word made its way into the Epstein Files Transparency Act. It's the wrong word. The bill, after demanding that, quote, no record shall be withheld, delayed, or redacted on the basis of embarrassment, reputational harm, or political sensitivity, including any to any government official, public figure, or foreign dignitary, goes on to undermine all of this. The bill says that the Attorney General, quote, makes a determination that covered information may not be declassified and made available in a manner that protects national security of the United States, including methods or sources related to national security. The Attorney General shall release an unclassified summary for each of the redacted or withheld classified information, as in the attorney general will get to decide what to release and how to characterize it. So, again, it's a very convenient watchword about supposed national security, which actually might and would contain the fact that, well, our international allies and geopolitical others might, I don't know, attack us if we release it, right? It's actually just an extension of the blackmail operation that's going on. Now, Mike Johnson has basically doubled down on this and is saying that, yeah, we're not going to be able to release it without substantial redactions. Let's go to clip number six here. This is Leader of the Senate, Mike Johnson. Let's watch.
All right. Number five, national security concerns, okay? The discharge requires the Attorney General to release within 30 days, quote, classified information to the maximum extent possible. This ignores the principle that declassification should always rest and always has rested with the agency that originated the intelligence. Why? So that they can protect their critical sources and methods. It is incredibly dangerous to demand that officials or employees of the DOJ declassify materials that originated in other agencies, in intelligence agencies.
And of course, the absurdity of all of this is that President Trump came out yesterday. And basically, again, I think you can look at a lot of what Trump does as face saving. Like, a lot of what he does is all about saving face. And in this case, the vote was going to go against him, and they knew it was going to go against him. And you see now it went completely against him, with everybody except for Clay Higgins, you know, voting to release the files that Trump has spent the last 10 months claiming don't exist, claiming they're already released, claiming it's a hoax. And it's ridiculous. So he could have released it at any point with a stroke of a pen, right? Wave of a hand. He has the power to declassify. He could have released this at any point. He didn't because he didn't want it released. Then when the vote looked like it was going to go against him, he came out yesterday and said, actually, I want you to release it. I'm telling you to release everything. And I'm instructing Pam Bondi, the DOJ, you know, release everything. And that was because he knew this vote was going against him. So he sort of wanted to, it would look really bad if he said, don't vote for this. And every single person in the Congress voted for it. That would not be a face saving exercise. That would be a face destroying exercise. So to save face, he's acting like he's in favor of this while simultaneously instructing the DOJ to reopen investigations into this, which is the other way that they'll keep information hidden. It's either national security implications, in which case they don't even have to tell you why they're, you know, blocking what they're blocking, because it's national security after all, or because there's an open investigation and you can't release the information of an investigation until the investigation is completed. So there are mechanisms behind the scene that will prevent this stuff from being released anyway. As Thomas Massie notes, this is how Speaker Johnson plans to protect the perverts who went to Rape Island from embarrassment. Do not let the Senate add an amendment to avoid disclosing these rich and powerful men who have evaded justice for so many years. Is Johnson calling all victims, quote, non-credible? And this was a note of the dangers of the discharge position if not amended. Victim privacy, they say, it doesn't adequately protect victims, but importantly, part two, innocent persons risks disclosure of non-credible allegations, creating new victims. Which, in other words, because they didn't charge these guys, they therefore are legally innocent and can't have their names released. But that's only because the government chose not to try to prosecute them, chose to allow them to get away with it. So they never got convicted. So now they get to, you know, continue to cover up their participation. It's pretty perverted stuff, if you ask me. Now, in a way, this is all a giant hoax. I mean, the Democrats pretending to care about this is a hoax. It's absolutely fraudulent. They had 4 years where they controlled the House and the Senate. They never even mentioned Epstein. Just keep reminding you over and over. They downplayed Epstein every chance they got for 10 years until they decided it would hurt Trump. And now they're acting like they care about this. Just about every article you could find about Jeffrey Epstein from a leftist organization between, you know, 2016 and 2025, every single outlet conflates Jeffrey Epstein with like crazy QAnon conspiracy theories about Hillary Clinton having a buffet of baby body parts, you know, in a basement in wherever, Martha's Vineyard. You know, it's like they constantly demonized and mocked the idea that there were elite pedophile rings. So the idea that they now care and are fighting this good fight for these victims, it is just, it's an insult to your intelligence, and it's a giant hoax, and that is true. But it did actually happen, and the Democrats were involved. Let's go to Jim Jordan here, clip number 7, where he talks about the charade that this Epstein debacle represents. Let's watch.
I yield myself such time as I may consume.
The gentleman is recognized.
We all support holding bad guys accountable, and we're all going to vote for this resolution. But I think a little perspective is important. Democrats have spent 6 months talking about Epstein, even though they had 4 years to do something about it. Now, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Maybe it's to go after President Trump. Never forget, they shut down the government for 43 days. They said, don't worry about our military. Don't worry about air traffic controllers. Don't worry about our economy. Don't worry about American families. No, no, no. Close the government for a month and a half because it might hurt the president. For the past decade, there's been one constant for Democrats. One constant. Go after Trump. They spied on his campaign. Then it was Mueller. Then it was impeachment one. Then it was impeachment two. Then it was all the lawfare. Alvin Bragg, Fannie Willis, Letitia James. Then it was Arctic Frost investigation at the Justice Department, surveilling United States senators and congressmen and a whole host of other Americans. Then it was Jack Smith and his gag orders and his raiding President Trump's home. Then it was a 43-day shutdown, and now it's Epstein. And by the way, the same party that did all that, they were also the ones who were texting with Mr. Epstein during a hearing where Michael Cohen was their witness in another effort to go after the president.
That's pretty funny. It's almost like the efforts to go after President Trump are like collapsing in on top of each other. So that was Jim Jordan. He goes off for several more minutes, but you got a little taste there. And he's exactly right. And I mean, the Democrats are so goofy, like they're so stupid, and just everything they say is fake. I wish it wasn't like this. I really do wish I could go, oh, this whole divide, this right-left divide is a charade. It's all a mirage. Really, it's two sides of the same coin. But no, I'm sorry. The Democrats are retarded, okay, in a way that Republicans aren't. Republicans are retarded in their own special way. Don't get me wrong. But there's something about Democrats being so just endlessly dishonest, like really to a degree that it's like it's not even possible to believe you mean what you're saying. It's not even possible. So as Jim Jordan lays out there, they spent literally 4 years trying to go after Donald Trump with everything they had. They never once considered that Epstein would be a method to go after him, or they would have employed it. While they were going after him, they're questioning Michael Cohen, who was the traitor, the backstabber, who was behind a lot of the Trump investigations and attempts to throw him in prison. Michael Cohen lied and misrepresented, you know, his participation in the Trump campaign. And so while they're interviewing him to try to destroy Donald Trump, they're asking questions that are being fed to them by Jeffrey Epstein. So again, the whole idea that the Democrats care at all about Epstein or his activities or relating him to Trump, it is all absurd. And it reached maybe a peak of absurdity when Chuck Schumer was asked why the Senate didn't go after Trump for 4 years, and he seems like doesn't even understand the question. Let's watch.
Okay. Senator, on that note, just I guess a question that's out there. Why wouldn't they have been released the last 4 years when President Biden was in office?
Well, that's the question every American is asking. Not every American, but so many Americans are asking. What the hell is he hiding? Why doesn't he want them released? When you don't want something like this released, when even a whole lot of Republicans are calling for the release, his own party members, people ask the question, what's he hiding?
Uh-huh.
It's got to be answered by releasing the files. Okay.
There'll be a veto.
No, Chuck. I think you misunderstood the question. Why didn't you try to release these if it was so important? If you're so genuinely motivated to get justice for these women, why didn't you release it during the Biden administration, where there were no barriers to you doing so? It was almost like a Monty Python skit or something. It's just like, why didn't you release it? And he's like, I know. That's what I'm asking. No, why didn't you? No, you could have released it and you didn't. He's like, I know. Exactly. So what is Trump hiding? Like, this is hilarious, frankly. Frankly, it's hilarious that these people are capable of wielding immense power over all of us. And by hilarious, of course, I mean terrifying and upsetting. Let's go to clip number two here. Mike Binns on the real reason why the Epstein files have been so difficult to release when either party is in office. Let's watch.
When you look at, for example, the close relationship between Jeffrey Epstein, the Clinton family, and the Ehud Barak Israeli Labor Party, it is patently clear that if the Central Intelligence Agency and the State Department were to do a sweep of all of their files, communications, records, a simple name trace of Jeffrey Epstein's name, the voluminous scale of the documentation, I think, would be enormous. The State Department rented out a physical property to Jeffrey Epstein personally in the 1990s. You and I can't just get the State Department as our personal landlord after seizing a mansion from the government of Iran. To say nothing of Epstein's work doing Iran-Contra with both the U.S. and Israeli side of intelligence through the Adnan Khashoggi link or through what was being done in the 1990s between Bill Clinton and Ehud Barak when he was the prime minister there, to Jeffrey Epstein setting up the Clinton Global Initiative, and she goes on to be Secretary of State. For some reason, they are not pursuing this lead, and it is maddening to watch from the outside.
It's funny because Khashoggi came up there because he was another topic of conversation in the White House today. In fact, let's go to clip number three here. This is Trump on Epstein when he was questioned about this in the Oval Office today. Clip number three.
As far as the Epstein files is, I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. I threw him out of my club many years ago because I thought he was a sick pervert. But I guess I turned out to be right. But you know who does have? Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, who ran Harvard, was with him every single night, every single weekend. They lived together. They went to his island many times. I never did. Andrew Weissman, I hear. All these guys were friends of his. You don't even talk about those people.
And he, of course, is exactly right. And after all of this, remember, there's always the Trump card. There's always the dead man switch. Let's go to clip number 29. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene laying that out.
...are sick of, and rightfully so. Now, where does this go from here? The question will remain. Will the Department of Justice release all the information? Will a judge in New York release the information? Will the CIA release the information? And will foreign governments release their information? Or will this continue after this vote today be a cover-up? A cover-up of the rich, powerful elites that bond together in sex and human trafficking abuse and all types of global business that enriches them but never serves Americans. The American people will know, and the victims, actually the survivors of Jeffrey Epstein, will know because they know the list of names. And I remain dedicated to my promise to read those names here on the House floor if those women ever find them in a place that it needs to be done. I yield back to Mr.
Gentlelady from Georgia yields back. Gentleman from Kentucky reserves.
That's the real threat. So, you know, long story short, this was an intelligence agency honeypot, you know, combination between Israel and America, and exposing that would blow the whole thing up.
Barring a miracle in the courts, InfoWars should be shut down somewhere close to January 1st. But that's just a website. It's just these studios. The InfoWar belongs to the people of America and the world. Population, doing their own research, getting involved with the community, and studying what the globalists are doing, exposing them and resisting them. And we've come from basically 1% of the population knowing what was happening 31 years ago when I got involved in the fight, to close to half of the people, not just in America, but around the world, being incredibly awake and engaged and informed. And so that's so exciting. And we have fought so hard together, that's why we've been targeted, because the globalists want to take us off the air so that we can't continue to tell the truth. But this operation is just one manifestation of the InfoWars. So I want to thank all of you over the decades. InfoWars has been around 28 years for not just supporting the InfoWar, but being the InfoWar. Now, that said, the legendary shopping cart, InfoWarsStore.com, with all the great products that kept us on the air through all those fights, It's still up and operating. Everything is still being shipped out. Within a day or two, your order's coming in. And two of our fan favorites are available for the last time at InfoWarsStore.com. These just came in, brand new, fresh, Ultimate Fish Oil, the three certified best types of fish oil that do such incredible things for your body. Last up to 18, 24 months, so you can also save it if you need to. And again, it is documented to be so good for your mind, your cardiovascular system, your immune system, and so much more. Fish oil, period, is great. Ours is the highest grade because it's been cold pressed, meaning it wasn't heated up or boiled. It wasn't homogenized. So you get the full effect. That is back in stock for a limited time for 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's been out now for 8 years. Hard to believe that. When we first did this with a top manufacturer, no one else had ever done it. We went to him. We said, what's the strongest turmeric concentrate on the market? And they said about 75%, and we put it out. That's what we'd gone to them. We said, well, how high can you go? They said 95% curcuminoid. That's what is the thing that does the great effects of anti-inflammatory, overall health, immune system, you name it, in turmeric. And they explained, listen, you don't need to go that high. Just raw turmeric capsules are 4%, and people get amazing, amazing responses from it. 75% is just over the top. I said, no, go 95%. Now the industry all over the place has gone to 95% curcuminoid. So we are continuing to trailblaze and be leaders in this. So it is your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site and the legendary fight. Thank you so much for your support. Now stock up while you can on Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Again, we're gonna move on, but I actually want to show a little bit of a longer clip from Thomas Massie. He was asked about the Epstein vote and what it means and where it goes from here, but he's also asked about Donald Trump and his recent lashing out at Marjorie Taylor Greene and Massie himself. And I think today represents sort of a watershed moment in Trump's political career. There was a while where the Trump curse was very real, and it could kind of be anybody. You go against Trump, and your life was over, basically. Michael Cohen is a great example of that, right? People who betray Trump or just go against him in any way just would always find that they were stumbling and falling and not doing so well. And what's happened here is that I don't think Thomas Massie started this fight. I never saw Thomas Massie as an anti-Trump person. There were things that Trump would do that Thomas Massie would stand up against on principle, same way that Rand Paul would or Marjorie Taylor Greene or anybody else. So it caused friction, and even during his first administration, Thomas Massie was there sort of gumming up the works. But he was never an anti-Trump guy, and as far as I could tell, it wasn't him that started the beef. But Donald Trump decided to, you know, aim all his cannons at Massie and, you know, give him the full broadside, and as now the smoke is clear, Thomas Massie is doing a lot better because of it. Seems like he has raised his profile quite a bit, achieved this really very impressive legislative achievement. getting both houses to vote in favor of this bill, even under opposition from Trump. So I want to give him his credit and also hear what he has to say about Trump. And even just the way that he's talking here, you can tell that he has the initiative. He has the momentum behind him. And, you know, he's being asked about Trump attacking him, but not in a way of like, oh, now you're in trouble, son. What are you going to do about it? But more of like, yeah, that didn't seem to work, did it? Why do you think he did that? So I think the era of the Trump curse is over. And there's lots of reasons why, but this represents a sea change and a waning of the MAGA power structure in favor of people that seem even more sincerely dedicated to American interests, even at the expense of Israeli ones. And again, that is the crux of this entire series of scandals, events, whatever you want to call it. So I'm going to go to Thomas Massie now, clip number 23, where he just lays out everything about this and answers questions about the future of MAGA and Trump's seeming lashing out at Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene and other, you know, true America First patriots. Let's watch.
Well, he got tired of me winning, so he joined our side. I have no animosity toward him. I regret that it got personal for some folks, but it never has for me. It's always been about the survivors.
What do you make of this reversal? I mean, after months of fighting you.
Well, the Speaker, the Attorney General, the FBI Director, the President, and the Vice President could have saved us all this time and embarrassment, frankly, for our own party. If they'd just done the right thing 4 months ago.
Do you believe him, Congressman? I mean, for weeks he's been pushing against this. Now he says he supports it. Do you buy it?
He's only supporting it because the president told him to support it.
No,
that's what Mike Johnson does.
No, I'm talking about do you buy President Trump saying that he wants the House to pass this resolution?
Well, I'm concerned that now he's opening a flurry of investigations, and I believe they may be trying to use those investigations as a predicate for not releasing the files. That's my concern.
You think they'll try to block it?
Well, they will. I'm afraid they're going to try to use a provision of the law that allows you not to release these materials if they're subject of an ongoing investigation and would harm, and the release of which would harm the ongoing investigation.
So what do you think this is all about for President Trump? First, he was blocking this, pushing Republicans to block this for so long. Now he's reversing course, and he has the power to release the full files anyway.
Well, it's pretty simple. For 4 months, he thought the best thing for him was to keep the files secret, and somebody convinced him that the best thing for him was to release the files. And if they're serious about it, they should release them right now. It's that simple.
Why do you think he is working so hard not to get them released for so many months? What do you think the real reason is?
These files implicate billionaires and friends of him, of his, and political donors that he's trying to protect. And Epstein also had close ties to our own intelligence agencies and Israel's intelligence agencies. That's why there's so much effort in trying to stop this. And I do believe they'll try to stop it somewhere else. And that's going to backfire on them, too.
So the president's saying he'll sign it. You don't buy that?
No, I think he'll sign it. I want to be there at the signing party.
Think he'll be invited?
I've never seen somebody not get invited to sign their own bill.
But what about just a personal nature of this? I mean, again, he goes after you, your wife, calls Marjorie Taylor Greene a traitor.
Let's be clear, he went after my late wife and my current wife.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a new low for him. But again, we laughed it off. It's more to his detriment than mine that he, you know, put something like that out. But I think it was beyond the pale. And if that's what it took for him to go that far, to realize he needs to support this instead of opposing it, then that's okay.
And
by the way, my wife has laughed about it. She did tell me to invite Trump to the wedding, and I didn't, so she blames me for him getting mad.
Are you optimistic this will pass tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's going to pass. I think it's going to pass with a veto-proof majority.
Do you think the Speaker will support it?
I think begrudgingly he has to at this point.
Congressman, you obviously had your differences with President Trump in the past, but Congressman Greene was one of his closest allies, one of his strongest supporters. What do you make of the fact that over the Epstein files it prompted this such a public and searing breakup?
Well, Marjorie represents the base. I mean, she represents what we campaigned on, more so than me, even the populist movement that, you know, brought Trump into the White House. And when he told his supporters that they're no longer his supporters, if they still want the Epstein files released, he lost a lot of supporters, but Marjorie didn't. And she, you know, she's in favor of finding justice for these survivors. And so she won the argument.
Do you think but, that President Trump has lost his touch on the MAGA base, had lost his understanding of the MAGA base?
I think on aspects of fiscal responsibility, on aspects of starting wars overseas and getting into regime change, and on this case of releasing the Epstein files, I think he has strayed away from the things that he campaigned on.
I think he has strayed away from the things that he campaigned on. I completely agree with that. I really agree with everything Thomas Massie just said right there. Yeah, Trump lost the argument here and has sort of been forced to reverse, but they're still launching these new investigations, as Thomas Massie noted, that will continue to try to limit the release of this stuff. Again, it's not unlikely that this stuff is actually being used now as leverage with the Israelis. After all, we've heard J.D. Vance say that they had to use leverage in order to get the peace deal with the Israelis. It obviously would not be a good thing for Israel to have it exposed in just crystal clear black and white, how their operatives were running honeypot operations with underage minors in order to control our political system. And this is sort of the ultimate test of that process, right? It's like, can the blackmail pedophile network wield enough leverage to stop the release of the information about the pedophile blackmail network? Sort of a self-fulfilling kind of thing here. Thomas Massie says, quote, "Don't muck it up. Urge a Senate to pass the Epstein bill as the House vote succeeds wildly." He urged the Senate on Tuesday to pass a bipartisan measure forcing the Justice Department to release the files. The comments come just ahead of that House vote. In a shock reversal and rare defeat from his oft-loyal base, the president called this week for House representatives to vote in favor of releasing the file, saying it's time to move on from this Democrat hoax. Trump's switch-up undercuts months of work House Speaker Mike Johnson had done that intentionally or not delayed the discharge position from reaching the floor, discharge petition from reaching the floor. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who said Trump severed ties with her over her support for the Epstein vote, predicted a unanimous vote in the House during Tuesday's press conference alongside Massie, Representative Khanna, and several Epstein survivors. Massie appealed directly to Senate Majority Leader John Thune, who's been noncommittal on the measure, saying, quote, "It's up to him. He needs to bring this matter to the floor of the Senate. I think the vote today will show that." And so again, it's just this whole situation, this whole thing has been totally unnecessary. Trump could have at any point simply ordered these files released, and we could have avoided months of acrimony, months of backstabbing, months of senseless speculation and detrimental argumentation. Like, all of this has been pointless, and it's all been in a futile attempt to cover up for a foreign state and their method and strategies of controlling American politics. It's frankly offensive that any of this has been allowed to go on this long. And I'm actually very, you know, happy that the Congress has agreed to do this. Like, it's weird, but like, I guess this is what you need. You need to psyop the Democrats into thinking that they're hurting Trump, and then they'll vote for something. It's very silly. Because again, they could have done this at any point while Biden was president. They never chose to do that. And they're only doing it now because they think it'll hurt Trump, when the vast majority of them are the ones that are associated with the criminals. So, you know, it's just, they're just so dumb. Sometimes that works out in our favor. Sometimes it works out in our favor, just how very, very dumb they truly are. And let's see, I want to go to Marjorie Taylor Greene now, because that was also brought up from Infowars.com. Watch, Marjorie Taylor Greene fires back over Trump traitor label. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene responded to President Donald Trump's recent criticisms during a press conference with Epstein victims Tuesday, condemning his labeling of her a, quote, traitor. Quote, "I was called traitor by a man that I fought for five, no, actually 6 years, and I gave him my loyalty for free. I won my first election without his endorsement, beating eight men in a primary, and I've never owed him anything, but I fought for him, for the policies, and for America first." she said about her rift with Trump, and he called me a traitor for standing with these women and refusing to take my name off the discharge position. She said, claiming during the presser tied to the passing of this bill. That's what we did by fighting so hard against the most powerful people in the world, even the president, in order to make this vote happen. I was called a traitor by a man I fought for 6 years. She added, let me tell you what a traitor is. A traitor is an American that serves foreign countries and themselves. A patriot is an American that serves the United States of America and Americans like the women standing behind me. Representative Green's comments follow a tense tit-for-tat with the president, with Trump withdrawing support for her reelection over the weekend and devising new nicknames for her, Marjorie Traitor Green and Marjorie Taylor Brown. Uh-huh. Yeah, it doesn't quite have the same oomph as, you know, Crooked Hillary, but I don't know. It's always sad. It's like watching Mike Tyson box in 2024. Like, it was there one time. He had the stuff at one point, but we don't know what he's doing now. Again, it's just frustrating because we really, 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 really need Trump to win and have success, but he is seemingly deliberately shooting himself in the foot every couple hours these days. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene hits back at Trump, quote, I've never owed him anything. I believe, do we have the video from this press conference? We only have her on the floor. Yeah, let's go to clip number 5 here. We won't go to the whole thing, but this is Marjorie Taylor Greene during this press conference. Let's watch.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Roe. I woke up this morning and I turned to my weather app to check the temperature and it was 32 degrees. And my first thought was, hell has froze over. I want to speak goodness and love and hope into the women standing behind me and all of the other survivors whose names you don't even know, but stand with these women. They are survivors, and they are strong, and they are courageous, and they are daughters of God. They are not victims. These women have fought the most horrific fight that no woman should have to fight, and they did it by banding together and never giving up. And that's what we did by fighting so hard against the most powerful people in the world, even the President of the United States, in order to make this vote happen today. I was called a traitor by a man that I fought for 6 years for. And I gave him my loyalty for free. I won my first election without his endorsement, beating 8 men in a primary. And I've never owed him anything, but I fought for him for the policies and for America first. And he called me a traitor for standing with these women and refusing to take my name off the discharge petition. Let me tell you what a traitor is. A traitor is an American that serves foreign countries and themselves. A patriot is an American that serves the United States of America and Americans like the women standing behind me. And I want to tell you that this only became possible today because the American people whom we serve as representatives here in Congress demanded that this vote happen, and they put more pressure on every single elected politician in this city than has ever been put on them. And today you are going to see probably a unanimous vote in the House to release the Epstein files. But the fight, the real fight, will happen after that. While I want to see every single name released so that these women don't have to live in fear and intimidation, which is something I've had a small taste of in just the past few days, just a small taste. They've been living it for years. But the real test will be, will the Department of Justice release the files? Or will it all remain tied up in investigations? Will the CIA release the files?
So again, what she's asking is, who's really in charge here? Who really runs our government? Who really has a say? Is it people that we, the American citizens, have an ability to recall if we don't like them, who actually have to in some way pretend to pander to us? Or is it the unelected deep state who have the final say and are able to manipulate the processes of our elected government to achieve whatever ends they design? That's the real question being asked here. And I guess we await a full answer, because when every single representative in the House votes in favor of something, you would think that would translate, theoretically, the way our government's set up, that should mean that everyone in America, on average, wants this to happen. So the question is, if everyone in America is represented by somebody that wants a thing to happen, are we able to make that thing happen? If not, that's the complete condemnation of democracy as a concept, the republic as a concept. If every single representative in the country wants the files released, if they're not released, we don't run our country anymore. That's pretty cut and dry. It's pretty clear. Okay? That's really what's being asked here. And of course, what she's saying is not small. It's not like she's saying that this the release of these documents that show the activity of a widespread and highly connected pedophile sex trafficking ring inspired the largest outpouring of lobbying and threats and pressure that she's ever seen in Washington, D.C. To the point where she, of course, is being doxxed and swatted, and attempts on her life and threats against her life are being made. And so you got to understand, this is so far beyond, like, I think it's smart politically to sort of frame everything as we're helping these victims, and they certainly do deserve justice on an individual level. But this is so much bigger than just the victims and the crimes that were performed against them. It's about the blackmail rings. It's about the pressure campaigns. It's about the fact that this pernicious influence has soaked into every single elite circle in this country. And when asked about why Trump didn't want these released, Thomas Massie said, I think it's his billionaire buddies that are on the list that are going to be in trouble. Certainly that is at least partly true. Now, the other thing that makes this whole thing nonsensical and confusing is because the emails that have been released from the Epstein estate, to me, show pretty unequivocally that they were not fans of Trump and had nothing on Trump and weren't able to blackmail Trump. And again, this is so weird how this is all inverted. This is one of the emails from Jeffrey Epstein to Larry Summers, Harvard, kingpin, OpenAI, sits on the board. We'll get into him in a minute. He's like a kingpin in all of this. And again, inspires a lot of questions as to how this blackmail is used. That's the important part. That's the important part to understand, is that we have no idea, and this might be the real thing that would be concerning people, we have no idea where and how this blackmail pressure has been utilized. Who has been silenced from their opposition to, wars in the Middle East through the invocation of the blackmail that they've been saddled with? Larry Summers being on the board of OpenAI. Remember, it wasn't just politicians that Jeffrey Epstein surrounded himself by. He was a spy who was given billions and billions of dollars from not just the Israeli government, which is really just one part of a larger group called the Mega Group. Okay? They gave Jeffrey Epstein billions of dollars to present himself not just as a investor and could therefore have access to all sorts of people who want money. I mean, if you are an angel investor, you can basically get a meeting with literally anybody. But they primarily wielded that in the scientific and tech communities to take over those operations. So I wonder, in the OpenAI conundrum, where they ousted Sam Altman, he came back and wiped the whole board and put Larry Summers at the head, I wonder if pedophile blackmail was used to achieve that. You have to understand how ubiquitous this network is in American elite. So from Jeffrey Epstein to Larry Summers, he says, recall I've told you, I've met some very bad people, none as bad as Trump, not one decent cell in his body, so yes, he's dangerous. And people say, imagine writing having Jeffrey Epstein write this about you. Imagine having Jeffrey Epstein not write this about you. Yeah, imagine having an evil, creepy, pedophile spy not like you. It's really weird. They're using the fact that the elite, you know, Israeli pedophile blackmailer called Trump dangerous as like, can you imagine, you know, how bad he must be? No, it's because he's good. When the evil people call you bad, you're good. Is this confusing to anybody? Yeah, he was dangerous to them. He's dangerous to their operations. He's dangerous because he's not controlled. That's what dangerous means in their world. You know who's not dangerous? Somebody you have on video having sex with an animal. They're as compliant as can be, not dangerous in the slightest. The dangerous person is Donald Trump. So why he's the one covering for it, it almost has to be that he is in fact using the blackmail himself to achieve his ends. That almost has to be the case because clearly Trump is not involved in this stuff. From their own internal emails, we've seen that. From the video from 2015 of Donald Trump being the one to bring up the Rape Island and Prince Andrew being involved in it. Before Epstein was even arrested the second time, he has been on the forefront of this. So to me, the only explanation as to why he's withheld this is because he must be using the information, but we're not seeing a ton of results from that. We'll return to this more, and I'll give you a rundown as to exactly Larry Summers is. But we're going to welcome Elijah Schaefer in the next hour, and we're going to talk about the abuse that he has suffered under by the deep state of our country, who are trying to silence him because he's criticizing the FBI. But I do want to tell you that there is a crazy deal going on at thealexjonesstore.com. You get $10 just free by going there. Free $10, no minimum spend. This sale ends Monday, the 24th of November. For the next week, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you will get free $10 applied automatically to your purchase. No minimum. Whatever you get is $10 off on us. Try Ultramethylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum, the Ultimate CMOS capsules, Ultimate Life Force, Shilajit Cummies. Plus, if you become a VIP member, you get $40 store credit. So if you go today, become a VIP member, you're basically getting $20 off anything you want to buy right off the bat. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air, folks.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
If you
You are receiving this transmission. You are the resistance.